Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we are taking a really close look at, well, an unsung hero working silently inside you, your liver. Forget the brain or the heart for just a second. Our sources actually describe this organ, it weighs over 3 pounds, as the ultimate biochemical factory.
It really is a wonder machine.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's fascinating is how little credit it seems to get day to day.
Right.
The sheer scale of what it does.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to even wrap your head around it sometimes. We've gathered sources that give a pretty complete picture of its essential functions, but also why the modern diet is kind of overwhelming its natural defenses.
And what we can do about it.
Exactly. What specific interventions, lifestyle changes you can actually take right now to protect it.
Okay, so that's our mission then. Understand why the liver, our biggest internal organ, is suddenly facing this crisis. We know it performs over 500. I get there. 500.
Over 500, yeah. Vital metabolic functions and... a whole lot more.
We need to get into what those jobs are and, crucially, what happens when we push it too far.
Okay, let's dive in. Where should we start? The core mechanics.
Yeah, let's start with the liver's jobs that maybe you listening don't even realize are happening constantly. Number one is the classic role, right? Detoxification.
Mm-hmm. The cleanup crew. It cleans the blood, neutralizes toxins, manages impurities.
Yeah.
Basically gets rid of the bad stuff before sending everything else on its way.
But there's more, isn't there? It's not just cleaning.
Oh, much more. The deeper work, arguably the more constant work, is energy management. Think of your liver like your body's central bank.
Okay, I like that analogy. A bank.
Yeah. So you eat a big meal. Suddenly you've got excess sugar, glucose. The liver jumps in, converts that excess into something called glycogen, and stores it.
For later.
Exactly. It manages your blood sugar balance hour by hour. It decides when to store energy, when to release it. And it also stores fatty acids, you know, ready for when you need fuel down the line. It's constantly managing these deposits and withdrawals. Keeps the whole economy of your body running smoothly.
That banking idea is great. It makes sure nothing goes to waste. It also has this massive role in digestion. It creates something essential called bile. We hear about bile, but what's its actual job in the liver's big picture?
Bile is absolutely critical for processing, well, pretty much everything we eat. The liver produces these bile acids. They get stored in the gallbladder and then released into your small intestine when you eat.
And what do they do there?
Their job is to emulsify fats. Basically, they break down big fat droplets into tiny ones. That's the only way your body can actually absorb them properly and get the fat-soluble vitamins like A, D, E, and K.
So it breaks down the fat so we can use it. But then that broken down fat needs to get out of the system eventually, right?
Precisely. And this is a detail people often miss, you know, in basic nutrition talk. That fat, once it's emulsified by the bile, needs help exiting the body.
And that's where?
That's where intestinal fiber becomes absolutely crucial. Fiber physically binds to those bile acids and the fat they've processed, and it sweeps them out. If you don't have enough fiber in your diet, that fat and those bile acids can actually get reabsorbed back into your system, which just adds to the load your liver has to deal with again. It's a really beautifully balanced process, but it needs all the parts, like fiber, to work right.
Okay, but here's the truly amazing part, I think. Despite doing all this complex chemical work, dealing with everything we eat and drink, the liver has this incredible resilience. It's like the ultimate survivalist organ.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's the only solid human organ capable of extensive regeneration.
Regeneration, like it can regrow.
Yeah, significantly. Think of it like this. The liver's built for a marathon, but maybe we've been asking it to run a constant sprint for the last 50 years or so.
Yeah.
Even when it gets damaged, it has this capacity to recover.
How much needs to be healthy for it to do that?
The rule of thumb is as long as about 30% of the remaining liver tissue is healthy, it can potentially grow back. Rebuild itself fully.
That is just astounding. And that explains why liver transplants can work using just a small piece from a living donor.
Exactly. That small, healthy segment can grow into a new, fully functional liver in the person who receives it. It sounds like science fiction, but like you said, it happens thousands of times a year.
How many are we talking?
Our sources mentioned over 9,000 liver transplants performed just in the U.S. each year. It's a major procedure.
Is there an age limit for receiving one?
Well, technically, there's no fixed upper age limit these days, thanks to medical advances. But practically speaking, it's often around 70 to 75. And usually, only if the patient is in otherwise excellent health. The body still has to be strong enough for the surgery and recovery, you see.
Right. So, okay. We have this powerhouse organ. It can regrow itself, performs over 500 tasks. It's built to handle lean times, detoxify things. Why then are we suddenly hearing so much about a liver health crisis? What changed?
We fundamentally changed his environment and his workload. The liver can handle occasional stress, sure, but it's not really designed for a constant, relentless flood of certain things.
And that flood comes from?
Our diets. Nothing has changed as much in the last 50 years as what we eat. Specifically, the massive rise of ultra-processed food.
Ah, yes. We've moved away from whole foods, things the body knows how to handle easily, and instead we're constantly giving the liver things it really struggles with. Excessive sugars, especially certain types like fructose, deep-fried everything, highly refined grains, industrial seed oils.
And don't forget the other load, the constant stream of prescription drugs many people take. Pain relievers, even some supplements and energy bars that need processing. It all adds up.
So that dietary shift is the key link here. The liver is trying its best to manage all the incoming calories, but when it gets overloaded, especially with certain sugars and fats, it just can't keep up.
Right. It can't process everything efficiently, so its default mechanism kicks in. It starts storing the excess fat right inside its own cells.
And that's fatty liver disease, FLD.
That's the beginning of it, yes.
Yeah.
Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or NAFLD, is the broader term when it's not caused by alcohol.
And the statistics on this are... well, they're pretty worrying, aren't they? This isn't some rare condition anymore.
Absolutely not. It's a massive public health issue. Some liver experts estimate that maybe about half of all adults in the general population might have some form of fatty liver disease.
Half? Really?
It's a broad estimate, but narrows down when you look closer. More specific medical estimates put it at about a third of American adults having diagnosed FLD. That rate has climbed right alongside the adult obesity rate, which, as you know, has soared past 40%.
Wow. It feels like we used to talk mainly about obesity and diabetes, but now FLD is emerging as this silent partner in those conditions.
It often is. And what's perhaps most disturbing, according to our sources, is that this isn't just an adult problem anymore. We're seeing it in children now, too.
That just speaks to how widespread this dietary pattern has become.
It does. It reflects the pervasiveness of the ultra-processed diet. We're not just talking about a few bad choices. We're talking about something that makes up, on average, about 55% of the daily calories for many people.
55%? That's more than half our food intake potentially working against the liver.
It's a staggering number when you think about it cumulatively.
And when we say ultra-processed, people might just picture, I don't know, a bag of chips or cookies. But the list is much, much broader, isn't it?
Oh, much broader. It's anything that's been heavily engineered, usually for maximum taste appeal and long shelf life, often loaded with extra salt, sugar, unhealthy fats. Think frozen meals, deli meats, many commercial breads and pastries, those chips and dips, yeah, but also spreads, sauces.
Even things that seem healthy, maybe.
Sometimes. Like overly prepared salad dressings, you check the label, and they can be packed with sugar and those unhealthy seed oils. Our sources even specifically called out things like fake cheeses as a hallmark of this category.
Right, the stuff with ingredient lists you can barely pronounce.
Exactly. And it's the cumulative effect of constantly asking the liver to process these kinds of synthetic, calorie-dense items that causes that long-term strain.
Okay, but the good news, I guess, is that this is actionable knowledge. You know, while maybe you can't avoid processed food entirely in a busy life,
right,
you absolutely have full control over the plain whole foods you bring into your own kitchen and cook yourself. That control seems like the first step in lightening the liver's load.
Absolutely. That awareness and control is key.
So if the problem is largely diet, the solution must also be largely diet. What do our sources point to as the best approach for liver health? Is there a specific diet?
Well, it's probably not going to surprise you. It isn't some brand new trendy fad. It's the tried and true Mediterranean diet.
Still number one.
Still number one. Consistently recommended for liver health globally. It focuses on healthy fats, olive oil, nuts, fish whole grains, lots of fruits and vegetables, lean protein. It's flexible, sustainable.
And well studied.
Incredibly well studied. In fact, our sources even suggest just, you know, Googling the Mediterranean diet because there are always slight updates and refinements based on the latest research. But the core principles hold strong.
Okay, so that's the overall pattern. But are there specific foods that actually help the liver do its job, especially that detox job, moving beyond vague cleanses to actual biochemical support?
Yes, absolutely. The liver needs specific nutrients and compounds to perform all those 500 tasks, especially detoxification pathways. That's where cruciferous vegetables are fantastic.
Like what? Cabbage, broccoli?
Exactly. Cabbage, broccoli, bok choy, Brussels sprouts, kale, cauliflower, Swiss chard, even turnips and radishes. These contain sulfur-rich compounds.
Sulfur, why is that important?
Because those sulfur compounds literally help the liver enzymes involved in metabolizing and excreting toxins. They provide the raw materials the detox pathways need.
So they're like tools for the factory workers.
That's a great way to put it. And don't forget the lily family things like garlic, onions, leeks. They have similar sulfur-containing molecules that activate key detox pathways. Adding these foods regularly is really beneficial.
Okay, crucial additions. Now let's talk about something that often trips people up when they're trying to be healthy. Fruit juice. We're kind of taught from childhood that juice is good, it comes from fruit. But the liver sees it very differently, doesn't it?
Very differently. The liver handles juice quite poorly, actually. And the main reason is the concentrated fructose.
Fructose, the fruit sugar.
Right. Now glucose, the other main sugar, can be used by almost every cell in your body for energy. But fructose, it has to be processed almost entirely by the liver.
Okay, so what happens when you drink, say, a standard 8-ounce glass of orange juice?
You are basically flooding your liver with a massive concentrated dose of fructose all at once. Our sources say an 8-ounce glass of juice can deliver about 4 times the sugar compared to eating the whole fruit itself.
4 times? Wow.
Yeah. And the liver simply can't handle that sudden influx efficiently. So its default response, it rapidly converts a large portion of that fructose directly into fat, the very kind of fat that contributes to FLD.
And crucially, you lose all the fiber you'd get from the whole fruit.
Exactly. That fiber is key. It slows down sugar absorption, helps you feel full, and as we discussed, helps carry out waste products like bile and processed fats. Juice gives you the sugar rush without any of the benefits of the fiber. It's kind of a metabolic double whammy for the liver.
Okay, that's a really important distinction. Whole fruit, good. Juice, not so much, especially in quantity.
Precisely.
So let's shift to someone who has actually been diagnosed with FLD. What are the official interventions then? What does the medical community recommend?
Well, the core lifestyle interventions are pretty consistent across the board. First and foremost is measurable weight reduction. The target is usually between 7% and 10% of body weight loss.
Which can make a huge difference to liver fat.
A significant difference.
Mm-hmm.
Then regular exercise.
Yeah.
The minimum recommendation is typically 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity per week. Brisk walking, cycling, swimming, whatever works for the individual.
Okay, weight loss and exercise. What else?
Managing comorbidities is vital. That means getting control of related conditions like type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and general metabolic dysfunction or syndrome. These conditions put enormous strain on the liver, so managing them is essential for allowing the liver to recover.
Are there specific nutrients or supplements that help?
Our sources mention thiamine, which is vitamin B1, and folate. These are sometimes recommended because the liver's detoxification and metabolic pathways can really burn through these B vitamins when they're under stress. They act as cofactors, helping the liver process the very things causing the damage.
Makes sense. What about medications? Are there drugs specifically for FLD?
It's a developing area. Currently, certain drugs like pioglitazone, which is usually for diabetes, and high-dose vitamin E are sometimes used for selected patients. They've shown some benefit in improving liver inflammation and scarring in studies.
But they're not officially approved just for FLD yet.
Correct. It's crucial to note they are not yet FDA approved specifically for treating FLD itself, so their use is typically off-label and guided by specialists. Research for targeted FLD drugs is very active, though.
And for patients with significant obesity, where lifestyle changes are difficult or not enough, what about surgical options?
Yes, for some obese patients, procedures like endoscopic sleeve gastrectomy or the placement of intragastric balloons can be very effective options. They help kickstart significant weight loss, which in turn dramatically reduces the fat load on the liver.
Okay. Now, we can't really talk about weight management today without mentioning the new GLP-1 drugs. Those injectable medications that have been so successful, how do they fit into the FLD picture?
They fit in significantly, though somewhat indirectly. These drugs are extremely effective at promoting weight loss and improving overall metabolic health, including blood sugar control. By doing that, they hugely benefit the liver by reducing the fat accumulation and inflammation.
But they're expensive.
Very. The cost is a major factor, often running between $500,000 a month, sometimes more. That definitely raises issues around accessibility for many people who could benefit.
And what about the oral pill versions we keep hearing about? Are they going to be game changers?
The trials are ongoing. Current indications from our sources suggest that while the oral versions do show benefit, they generally don't quite measure up to the sustained weight loss and metabolic improvements seen with the injectables. They might be best suited for people who only need more modest weight loss, perhaps not enough for reversing advanced FLD on their own, but again, it's an area that's evolving quickly.
Okay, last big topic, alcohol. This question comes up all the time regarding liver health. There's always conflicting information, some studies suggesting maybe moderate amounts of wine with dinner could have benefits. What's the final word from the medical perspective, especially if someone already has liver issues?
Right. Our sources definitely acknowledge that controversy and the cultural place alcohol holds. However, when a patient already has a diagnosed diseased liver, specifically fatty liver disease, whether from alcohol or not, the medical opinion is really quite clear and unambiguous.
And that opinion is?
If you have a medical diagnosis of fatty liver disease, the official recommendation is complete abstinence from alcohol. Full stop.
No exceptions, even if it wasn't caused by alcohol.
No exceptions. The liver is already compromised. It's already struggling. Adding any amount of alcohol, which is a direct liver toxin, just puts more strain on it and hinders any chance of recovery. At that point, the risks definitively outweigh any theoretical or controversial benefit of moderate consumption.
That's a very clear line. Okay. So wrapping this all up, the unifying message seems to be that our liver is doing this incredible amount of work, those 500 plus tasks constantly. Its resilience is amazing. But we've really been testing that resilience lately.
We absolutely have. And protecting it, at the end of the day, really comes down to making more conscious, mindful choices about what we eat and drink daily. Mm-hmm. Gaining this knowledge, understanding where the hidden sugars and ultra-processed calories are coming from, that's your first line of defense. Recognizing that 55% figure for ultra-processed food intake is powerful.
So what does this all mean for you listening? We start by talking about the liver's amazing power, the fact it's the only solid organ that can extensively regenerate, potentially surviving even if only 30% of it is healthy.
An incredible backup system, really.
It is. And that leads us right into our final provocative thought for you to consider after this deep dive. Given that your liver has this phenomenal power of regeneration, that it's built with this huge safety margin, how much chronic daily strain are you putting on it, perhaps without even realizing it, just by letting maybe half or that 55% of your calories come from ultra-processed, highly refined sources?
What could your linger achieve for your long-term health, your energy, your overall well-being, if you just gave it a little more healthy help, less burden, more support?
Something to definitely think about.
Indeed.
We'll see you on the next deep dive.